This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck, and I'm your host for this first hour. First, a happy Easter to everybody listening. I know it's a very different Easter than we all had in mind, but hopefully you can at least take some time with the people you are self-quarantining with to have a nice meal and, who knows, look at the positive side of things. Because right now, hey, we still, it looks like we'll be in some sort of a shutdown or self-isolation for a while. Plus, hey, you all get to listen to even more daily editorials because I've been busy through these last few weeks, and there's been a lot to talk about. I'm kicking off the show with Jesse Felder, and then also followed up by Mark Chandler. We are going to be talking a bit more generally about a big picture in terms of central banks, governments, and the overall economy. Then in the second half of this first hour, moving to that resource sector. Let's start with the crazy moves we saw this week out of the Fed. First and foremost, the Fed opening up its pocketbook to the tune of $2.3 trillion in loans. Jesse, what was your reaction when the Fed came out with this statement?
Well, I've expected that, with this unprecedented economic disaster that we're facing, that the Fed was going to expand its toolbox. I didn't think they would do it this fast. Just a couple of weeks ago, 3-4 weeks ago, I was thinking they're going to eventually have to start buying investment grade corporate bonds. And then they announced it the next week. And I was thinking, that might happen by the end of the year. Now, at that point, you still saw high yield bonds struggling and spreads still fairly wide. At that point, I was thinking, well, they're going to have to go into junk bonds. And Thursday, almost within several days, we're buying junk bonds now. The next step for them is going to be, buying equities. If we see equities start to sell off again, especially if they break down below those March lows, I think it's inevitable we're going to see the Fed step into the equity market. And so it's, they have said they're going to do everything possible to try and limit the economic and financial fallout from the virus. And so, it's not surprising. But at the same time, it's more extreme than anything we've ever seen in history. So it's very serious.
It is very serious. And just the actions that the Fed, even the governments around the world are taking, goes to show how serious this is. But still, the argument is that this, well, it's creeping into a financial issue, but initially it's more of a medical issue. So papering over this doesn't really have the same impact as it could have had or as it did have during, let's say, the last collapse of the great financial crisis.
That's a great point. I mean, the Fed has an ability to limit the fallout of a financially driven panic. Their role as the lender of last resort is key in those kinds of scenarios. But I think, why the market continued to sell off so dramatically through most of March, despite these incredible moves by the Fed, was that their toolbox in dealing with pandemic is almost laughable, right? There's inevitable consequences we're witnessing to the economy right now. And this rally in the stock market was something that, you could see kind of setting up because we'd gotten so stretched, oversold, and pessimism had grown so widespread. But to think this is anything more than a relief rally is, I think, really optimistic because, the Fed's ability to limit the fallout, the economic fallout, is severely limited. Even, Charles Evans spoke last week saying that in the best case scenario, when this is all said and done, the economy is going to be weaker than when we started, than it was, back in January, February before this thing hit. So, you know, even the Fed admits that they're pretty much powerless to counteract these inevitable economic and financial consequences, the fallout of the virus.
So then where does that leave us here, Jesse, when we do get through all this and we don't even know when we're going to finally get back to some semblance of daily life? The fact of the matter is people, businesses, governments are all going to be carrying higher debt loads. A lot of people aren't even going to have been working for the last little while. So whatever the government gives them is most likely going to be lower than they were making, especially for some of the higher incomers. And then also the younger generation is just getting hammered. Apparently, old teenagers the whole way up to 30-year-olds are really feeling the impact of this, and understandably so. A lot of them are unemployed, and a lot of them don't have a whole lot of savings to draw on, or any savings to draw on. Where do you think, or how do you think we even get out of this?
Yeah, well, I got, it's a good point you make. I really feel for millennials right now. You know, I mean, the older generations, baby boomers, love to kind of make fun of millennials and kind of say that they're, you know, whining about their situation is unjustified. But how many generations have literally entered the workforce during a once in a generation or multi-generation financial crisis like we saw in 2008-9, and now they're facing this a second one in roughly 10 years' time? I mean, they're facing two once in a lifetime type of horrendous economic experiences in a 10-year period. It's really just not fair, and I really hope that I see a lot of people talking about where does this come from. A lot of the problems in the financial markets right now are very similar to the problems we had 10 years ago. It's the buildup of leverage across the financial system, not just, I mean, last time was mainly in the banking system and in, residential real estate and people that were speculating. And this time it's corporate balance sheets. It's leveraged investment strategies. I think we saw recently with the problems in the treasury market, a situation very similar to what we saw with long-term capital management in 1998, just people leveraging up these treasury spread trades, 50 times. And so when those spreads start to blow out a little bit more, these trades blow up. So I mean, we have leverage on corporate balance sheets. We have leverage strategies that are coming under strain. And then we also have leveraged business models, companies that have said, we're going to be willing to lose money for years and years and years until we grow to an economy of scale that's so huge that we can hopefully start making money. And here I'm talking about like WeWork and Uber and all of these unicorns that have come up. But all of this leverage was inspired by monetary policy, extreme monetary policy over the past decade or longer. So the problems that we're now facing, the fragilities in the economy and the financial markets, are direct results of monetary policy. So if the Fed hadn't been as crazy, I guess to use your term, Corey, about trying to stimulate the economy through extreme monetary policy over the last 10 years, we wouldn't have seen all this leverage build up on corporate balance sheets that now face a daisy chain of bankruptcies potentially, in leverage strategies, in the markets that create extreme volatility, and in these leveraged business models. And so the Fed is now forced with trying to fix its own, the problem of its own creation, and they're trying to do it by even adding on even more leverage. So this is just, it's absolute madness, the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. I really hope that a lot of people start to realize this is what's going on in the economy and the financial markets, and there is a blowback where we start to remove some of these, through this crisis, I hope that we start to realize the cause of these things and dealing with the real underlying issues.
All right, Jesse, wrapping it up here. Great having you on the show. I hope you have a good time with your family. I look forward to chatting with you in probably another couple weeks to a month. Jesse, thanks again for your time. Have a great long weekend.
Thanks, Corey. You too, buddy.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-377-1456. 800-377-1456. That's 800-377-1456. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. I'm chatting in this segment with Mark Chandler, managing partner at Bannockburn Global Forex. And Mark, there is a lot for us to cover this week in terms of news events out of governments and out of central banks, some of which really came out of the blue. And that's where we're going to start, with the Federal Reserve that essentially just opened up their pocketbook to the extent of 2.5 $2.3 trillion in loans to, as they said, support the economy. These loans are hitting everything from Main Street to corporate bonds, even down to municipalities. There's even the thought that they're going to be buying junk bonds, as they just expanded the definition of the type of bonds that the Fed can be buying. This is a massive move by the Fed, clearly worried about the impacts that this shutdown from this COVID-19 virus is having and going to have moving forward. Take us through your thoughts and your reaction to that Fed announcement this week.
Yeah, it took me a bit by surprise, so the timing of it. I think that it comes down to is the Federal Reserve is trying to make sure that how capital is circulated, the different segments of the market, the different segments of the capital markets can function while the economy is shut down until the economy can get going again. So if the chairman of the Fed, Powell, suggested it's a bridge. And they've now identified 9 different segments of the capital markets, money markets, commercial paper, like you were mentioning, municipal bonds, corporate bonds, loans, small and medium-sized businesses. There's 9 of these facilities set up. And unlike 08 and 09, when the Federal Reserve was on its own setting up these kind of facilities, since the Dodd-Frank measures, in essence, what has to happen is that the Treasury needs to be involved. That is, an elected body, the U.S. government, Treasury Secretary, who speaks for the president, has to be involved. And so these 9 facilities are actually seeded with capital from the Treasury. The Treasury got that money, about $475 billion, roughly, from Congress. Congress gave it to the Treasury. It's sort of earmarked for the Fed. What's the Fed going to do with this money? This money is not being used to buy securities. The Fed, sort of magic money machine of basically crediting its counterparty's account, is how that person or entity gets the funds. But how do they buy those securities? The money from the Treasury is not to buy those securities. That money from the Treasury is to protect the Federal Reserve from bearing any losses on these riskier assets that they're buying. So the Federal Reserve, the central bank, will take no market risk. It's really executing, if you will, the plan identified by Congress and the Treasury to keep these market segments open. I suspect, like you probably do, that the Federal Reserve helps recommend which sectors need to be opened or worked on. The idea of the Federal Reserve buying junk bonds is probably the most surprising thing. They'd already been edging into some of the municipal area, but they did unveil this municipal program. But I think it was the junk bonds, that is bonds that no longer are investment grade. The Federal Reserve is going to be able to buy some. And I think it surprises people, but I think that there's sort of a logic to it. Imagine that you have a corporate bond entity that was on the borderline. It was just the lowest investment grade rung. And then this crisis hits, and the Federal Reserve begins to buy corporate bonds. It announces a corporate bond buying program. I believe it was like March 22nd or the 23rd. So what about if you have a bond and the company, after the crisis hits, after the Federal Reserve begins buying corporate bonds, your bond gets downgraded, a fallen angel, they call them. Isn't that really irresponsible if the Fed were to buy that? And so 2 companies that responded very positively to the news said could do this with Macy's and Ford Motor Company. And so I know for a lot of people, this is a bridge too far, if you will. But I think what it shows is that in this crisis, it's such of a magnitude that the usual rules that guide central banks or guide officials, what's acceptable in peace times is one thing, and what's acceptable in war times is another. And we're at war right now.
That's one way to look at it. That is for sure, especially trying to fight this economy back to some sort of stabilization. We're talking a lot about the Fed, but it wasn't just the Fed this week that came out with news to try to keep economies elevated or levitated. Bank of England, they announced something that dealt with overdraft privilege and making that unlimited to, again, keep the system going there. Can you give us some insights on what that announcement was?
Yes, yeah, so it really begins with the bank, the UK's Treasury. So they have this, as you would imagine, you've got a lot of different government departments, they're all spending money, and with the tax revenue slowing down because the economy is shut down, there's sort of like a mismatch between the time the government's going to collect the money and the time the government needs to spend it. So it's going to lead to a bit of like an overdraft, if you will. And in this account is usually a few hundred million pounds. During the great financial crisis, it went up to 20 billion sterling was the size of the overdraft. And now the Federal Reserve says that this overdraft, excuse me, not the Federal Reserve, the UK Treasury says they want to have unlimited overdraft privileges, which means that the Bank of England, in effect, has to print money, electronic symbol into the account of the government. So they can have this overdraft privilege. This is a new, it hasn't been done since the great financial crisis. And the great financial crisis was very limited. This is unlimited. And it's it caught the market by surprise. It seemed to be very aggressive because about a week ago, the Bank of England governor, brand new Bank of England governor Bailey, had suggested that this facility, this overdraft facility, if you will, was sort of archaic, it was historical, it wouldn't be needed, it wasn't going to be used. And the Treasury seemed to disagree with him. There wasn't really much of a market reaction, though. Gilts, the British bonds, yield still declined a little bit after the announcement, despite what seemed to be printing off money, monetizing debt directly. And the British pound is actually finishing the week at very good levels. By good levels, I mean they're 125.
Unfortunately, we're out of time for this segment on the radio, but you and I are going to continue this conversation touching on other central banks, other governments, what they have done this week, and also a little recap of that OPEC meeting. Anybody who is listening on the radio, please visit our website. Everybody who is listening on the radio, please visit our website, kereport.com. Click on that weekend show posting for hour one, and you can listen to all of the extended interviews this weekend. I am going to be right back, focusing a bit more on the resource sector to wrap up the first hour.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attention all radio listeners who still need food supplies. If you've thought about the implication of food-related supply chain disruptions and are concerned about the coming quarantines, this will be the most important message you will ever hear. Here's why. In the next few days, all Americans will face extremely hard choices. If we've learned anything from China and Italy, it's that quarantines and enforced lockdowns are just a few days away here in the U.S. Listen, while dehydrated food is becoming scarce, you can still get enough open pollinated heirloom seeds to grow a 1-acre crisis garden. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables in the days ahead may actually be the single most important thing you do. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com and watch the new video to understand the nature of the threat. This could be life-saving. Lockdowns can last from 6 to 8 weeks. Get free bonus seeds. Special quarantine reports too. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
As President Trump prepares to announce a council to get the country back open again, his task force members are saying to wait a bit longer until it's safe. Dr. Deborah Birx wants the leveling off of cases and deaths to continue.
We have not reached the peak. And so every day we need to continue to do what we did yesterday and the week before and the week before that.
Next week, the president will announce the creation of a council of economic and medical experts who will plan on how and when to reopen the country.
If you reopen the country in May and there's a new outbreak or a spike in infections, are you open to the idea of shutting the country down again?
Depending on the outbreak, yeah.
You would be depending.
I mean, and that's happened, as you know, with a couple of countries.
This is USA Radio News.
Working from home? I'm Chad Dodd, veterinarian and consultant to Limp Bells. Here are some tips for keeping your dog fit while staying at home. Find 15 minutes twice a day and walk your pet at a decent pace around your place. Play hide and seek by hiding some kibble or favorite toys and letting your dog find them. If you have stairs and your dog is mobile, walk up and down twice a day for 5 to 10 minutes. Or better yet, try a power walk on your terrace or backyard for some fresh air. There are more helpful pet care tips at youmove.com, spelled Y-U-Move.com.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
What they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. We're going to shift our focus a little bit more to the resource sector in these final two segments, starting off with Brian Lenny, founder and editor of the Junior Stock Review website. Now, Brian, you have been doing some research into royalty companies. Now, no doubt royalty companies have been strong, continue to be strong, especially when you're looking at the broad metal stock sector, as still some of the smaller stocks, you can argue, are still generally lagging this nice breakout that we are seeing in gold. But when it comes to royalty companies, what has some of your initial research yielded you in terms of your thoughts on the investment opportunities and overall sector for royalty companies?
Sure. Yeah. So far, you know, it's not surprising if you just look at the stock charts, but the vast majority of the at least precious metals, royalty and streaming companies are trading almost at where they were before this crisis. And for me personally, I look at three main criteria when looking at these types of companies. And the first is the price to net asset value. So price to NAV is kind of, is probably, in my opinion, the most important. Second to that is enterprise, to EBITDA. And then third, price to cash flow. And sort of the criteria I was using in my analysis is I wanted to try to find companies that were trading for, you know, less than their NAV, which in the precious metals, there's only really one right now. And then I wanted to find a company also that was, had a positive cash flow. You know, there's some smaller royalty companies out there, that have paying royalties, but they're still losing money on an annual basis. And for me, for the type of investment of where a royalty company fits into my portfolio, I want a positive cash flow. I want that low risk, company that has upside potential because of where the metal price is. And there's a few other factors that go with that. But really, that was kind of my overall view of the companies right now.
So does that mean you're more or less avoiding these smaller royalty companies? Because we have seen, well, more and more royalty companies pop up over the last couple of years, and some of them still have had nice price moves, but yeah, obviously they don't have, the same numbers, the same headline numbers as these larger companies.
For me, it really depends. You know, when you get down to that, the smaller segment of the royalty companies, I think you lose a little bit of that kind of initial, or perceived value, you know, the low risk to exploration development. And that's where the risk comes in, the regular juniors. So it would depend on price for me, you know, it depends on price for anything I look at. And that would be the main dictator of whether I would look at a, you know, royalty and streaming company or a junior. But for where in the portfolio I think it would be good to fit. I want one of the bigger companies, one of the ones that are more established. In this case, they seem to be trading at premiums. Like I said, I would look at the smaller guys, but it would have to be the right situation. A side note to that is what I've found in looking at some of these smaller royalty companies is they have typically more developmental stage projects. And then the paying royalties that they do have are typically in higher risk jurisdictions, which is also something else to contemplate right now.
What about also the balance between precious metals royalty companies that a lot of people focus on and that are, you can argue, being, well, better valued compared to some of those base metal royalties? Base metal royalty companies still produce some nice numbers, and you can sometimes argue that they can be more stable numbers because of the long life of these assets, but they don't get the same love in terms of market valuations.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that is where the value is right now. You can look at Altius or, I forget the full name of, Anglo Pacific Group. Those two, the main base metal royalty streaming companies, there's a ton of value. They're actually trading at basically half NAV right now. And that's where the value is. The thing is with the base metals right now, I think they don't have the clear upside potential. Like, I think in the precious metals, you've got a nice balance between, high precious metals prices contrasted against the risk. You know, that this closure keeps on going and COVID is more of an issue moving forward. Whereas the base metals, like 100%, are going to have a discernible impact. And it only gets worse as we move along here. And, you know, with the base metal prices where they are, it's going to come out, and it's just whether, you know, the market is already factoring that discount in or whether it can go further. So for me, would I hesitate at taking a tranche here? No, probably not, but it would definitely not be an all-in tranche. It would maybe represent 25 or 30% of a full position that I want to take.
Okay, so when you are doing your research into these companies, especially the smaller ones, these companies point to a lot of royalties that aren't producing any cash flow right now. Now, whether the project is still being explored or if it's moving into a production scenario, how do you value these type of royalties that companies promote, but they still are not producing any cash flow right now?
You know, it's a tricky one. It's a really tricky one. And I think probably the reason why I haven't dabbled in that portion of the sector as much is because, you know, I would rather buy the junior in question than maybe the royalty company. In this case, if we're talking about the lower end, just because I think if I'm going to do all the research and have an opinion on the risk associated or the potential for that mine being developed, I'd probably better off suited buying the junior rather than maybe call it a junior royalty company. But again, it all depends. And there's some situations which are more clear than others. And for me, if I was looking at one of those the junior side of the royalty sector, I would still want to see stuff that's in tier one jurisdictions at this point and stuff that is basically fully funded up until probably production. Because again, there's still a lot of questions right now, and that's just the way I would look at it.
Okay. Now, when you talk about questions still in these markets, obviously we don't know how long these shutdowns are going to last. That directly impacts royalty companies. Well, it directly impacts a lot of companies, the vast majority of them, unfortunately. But are you still concerned about some sort of a washout for the sector, considering people are getting pretty confident and pretty optimistic right now with gold moving over 1700 and, well, the overall environment here where even U.S. markets are bouncing back? So there is confidence in these markets, and a lot of people have called bottoms here.
Yeah, you know, good for those guys. I can't predict the future, and honestly, I really try to stay away from it. For me, I see both sides. I see the reason why people are, you know, have an optimistic view, you know, whether it's the Fed or basically any other country have pledged unlimited amounts of QE. And every day you hear of a new package, whether it's in Singapore, Canada, the States, everybody's coming out with these further packages. And then mixed with that, you know, precious metals, you know, by and large, the gold price has responded. But you know, I think we really don't have enough of an idea of what we're really dealing with yet. I don't know if I can't remember another time where we've kind of been in this predicament where stuff is completely shut down and could be shut down longer. And with that big of a question mark out there and how much damage that actually creates, you know, and it's going to have that containment is going to have a contagion effect in basically everything. And so for me, until I have a clearer picture of how long this is going to last and possibly, you know, how much damage has actually been done, I really am kind of down the middle on this one. And you know, I'm still buying when there's a lot of selling, and I'm buying very specifically, but I'm not getting over exuberant either about the prospects, you know, moving forward.
Okay. Brian, good chatting with you. It's great having you on the show, and I think that, hey, your outlook, still being at least a little bit defensive, not just diving headfirst into this market, is reasonable because there has been optimism come in, but right now we don't know how long this shutdown is going to last, and if it does drag on for a couple more months, not out of the question to see another fairly significant correction that hits everything across the board. Brian, thanks for your time this weekend. Everyone, stick around. I'm going to be right back with a company update to wrap up the first hour.
Thanks for having me, Corey.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@GCNlive.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens, and we're proud to promote amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Visit GCNLife.com for products like Luminesse. The Luminesse anti-aging skincare line restores youthful vitality and radiance to your skin, reducing the appearances of fine lines and wrinkles with stem cell technology. There's also Instantly Ageless, which works within 2 minutes, reducing under-eye bags, fine lines, wrinkles, and pores. Jeunesse has products to help you with how you look and feel in a very short time. Nobel-nominated Dr. Vincent Giampapa has designed several products helping the body perform better. Jeunesse products have a 30-day money-back guarantee, and they're available up to a 25% preferred price discount. See all of the amazing Jeunesse products at GCNLife.com or call toll-free 1-844-443-6637. 1-844-443-6637.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition. As promised, we are getting a company update, and the company is Great Bear Resources, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol GBR and on the OTCQX under the symbol GTBDF. I am chatting with the President and CEO, Chris Taylor. Now, Chris, we're following up on news that was released on Thursday, as Great Bear really does continue to be a standout in terms of an exploration company at this Dixie project in the Red Lake District of Ontario. The company released around 20 drill holes just on Thursday with some pretty impressive headline numbers. In the title, we have 42.7 grams per ton gold over 3 meters. We also have results which include 9.35 grams per ton gold over 6.5 meters. There are a number of other very positive drill results here. What I think is first important to outline here is where these drill results are coming from in context from this bigger project that you have been drilling now for a couple of years. Take us through the location, please.
Yeah, thanks, Corey. These results are from our LP fault target. So this is the one, this big zone that's more than, well, so far we have drill holes across about 11 kilometers of this structure, all of which have gold in them. And there's a core area of about 4 to 5 kilometers length that we're doing a big 300-hole grid drill program on, and this will eventually set us up with our initial resource estimate for the target. These holes are from various places along that central sort of 4 or 5 kilometers, including, sort of extensions off of some very high-grade shallow mineralization that we had issued previously. This is sort of 75 to 150-meter step-outs from that, and also in an area that had not previously been drilled that's about a kilometer long. We used to call it the gap zone, a bit of a joke because there's no real gap in the system. It's just an area that we couldn't get into in the summer to drill. It's forested, but a little bit wetter. So we waited until the winter and put holes in there, and we had some good numbers come out of that region today, showing us that we've got a continuous gold system that's 4 or 5 kilometers long.
Okay, yeah, and that's the key here is that what you just said, this area had not been drilled. It was in between some of these other drilled areas where the initial concept here with this project, from how I understood it, was that there might be these pockets of deposits throughout this LP fault. But what the recent drilling is showing is the probability of being able to tie all these together. Can you discuss a little bit further this almost nuance of the project?
Yeah, that's a really good point. And that was everybody's biggest question. It's really unusual. The scale, the raw scale of what we're dealing with is really a lot bigger than what people are used to. And people being mining engineers, people that follow the markets, individual investors, just as a rough rule of thumb, most gold deposits in the world are going to be, 200 meters, 300 meters long in an ore zone lens, whatever it's going to be. Whereas we're looking at something that's literally an order of magnitude, more than 10 times bigger than that with this LP fault. And of course, there was natural skepticism when we found the zone initially. People thought, well, they must selectively be drilling in various places because people just don't come up with deposits this big. There are a few around there in the world, but they are major tier one kind of assets. You can point to really big systems like Osisko's Windfall or the Canadian Malartic deposit that's operated by Agnico, or, the entire Hemlo camp. It was three mines together. That would have been about 3 kilometers long. Malartic's about 6 kilometers long in total, the 3 kilometer long pit. And you have something like the Osisko Windfall deposit, which is really big. That's a couple kilometers long on surface, probably 4 kilometers as they drill it. So it has big comparables, but people were just naturally skeptical that it would all hang together, and they figured it would be different pods of mineralization, like you said, Corey, along this strike length. But that's not what we're seeing. As we drill more holes, we're seeing continuous mineralization, and generally what you see is, high-grade gold along certain geological contacts, and then these wider zones of disseminated mineralization. So you might get numbers like we put out on Thursday, which were basically, like a few meters of an ounce and a half, but surrounded by, I think in that case, it was 60, 65 meters, 63 meters, something on that range of a few grams per ton gold right to surface. And those kind of results and widths, you're looking at big open pit gold deposits generally in the less than 1 gram per ton range. And if you can issue multi-gram near surface high-grade gold, which is that close to the surface, it's something that can be very compelling from an economic perspective. So as we drill more of it and get more of those kind of numbers, it tends to be very interesting to the market at large.
All right, let's follow up on something you just said there, is that because these results are so close to surface, but they are also high grade, especially if this could be an open pit mine, is that the narrative you're starting to go down, that this could be just one massive, almost super pit in terms of an open pit, but could also be carrying grades over 1 gram per ton?
Look, it's early days with the project so far. There's lots of ways to skin the cat with what we found here. And that's what I really like about it. All of us geologists that are involved in the project, having the ability to have bulk tonnage mining, whether that's an open pit or whether that's underground block caving. I know the Australian operators love underground block caving. It's also a bulk tonnage method, but it doesn't actually have a pit expression. But also having the high-grade, conventional high-grade, Red Lake-style gold on our project, there's just so much flexibility on the way you could ultimately develop what we have that's what really gets us excited. Because, if you concentrate, no matter, I guess the best way to look at it is this. Maybe I'll retrace for a second. The ideal gold deposit is a stack of gold bars sitting on the surface somewhere, preferably in a vault where it's safe. That's the ideal mining scenario. But if you can't have that, you're going to want to concentrate as much of the gold as close to the surface as you can, because it's going to be ultimately cheaper to get it. And what we're seeing with what we found along the LP fault and the Dixie Limb and the Hinge is high-grade gold and looks like significant volumes of mineralization going right up to the surface. And we think, and the drilling that we're doing is showing this, we have hundreds of meters now vertically where we're seeing the continuity of the mineralization going down to depth, and hundreds of meters or kilometers laterally where we're seeing the mineralization continuing. So that seems to be hanging together really well. But having that concentration of gold near the surface is ultimately, I believe, going to be one of the primary, economic drivers for this system, you know, as it gets developed to more advanced stages.
So let's also talk about the depth component here, because what we are seeing is the deeper you go in some of these holes, you are hitting that really high grade. Now, sometimes it's down to, let's say, 100 to 150 meters, a couple intercepts here, also down to 200 to 300 meters, but you're getting some almost trip-digit gold grades there in terms of grams per ton. What does this mean as well, having this depth component of high grade?
Well, when you're looking at something like Red Lake, you know, the camp that we're situated in, it's famous for mining not down to 200 or 300 meters, but to 2 kilometers. You know, you're looking at like mining at the main Red Lake gold mine going down 2.5 kilometers. So numbers like you just quoted at 100 meters, 200 meters, 300 meters down, those are basically near surface. All of that mineralization that we've just told you about and what we've been publishing is between 0 meters depth and about 500 meters depth. In most places across Canada, especially with gold systems with these kind of grades, people would consider that near surface. So I guess the answer to your question is we haven't even drilled deep compared to a lot of our peers in even just in Red Lake, where drilling goes down for, you know, kilometers many times and mine development goes down for kilometers. We're really just scratching the surface. And we would expect, and we don't know because we haven't drilled it yet, but we would also expect to have that depth extent at the Dixie property. And that means whatever we've defined so far is literally just scratching the surface of what might be there.
All right. Well, appreciate the update. Overall, pretty good news release in terms of drill results, and also very positive that you can keep that drill program going. I appreciate the update for this weekend show. If anybody has any follow-up questions, as always, just email me, fleck@kereport.com. I appreciate everybody tuning in throughout the week. It continues to be just a crazy year in terms of market moves, and now even with the Fed coming out with using almost all their powers when it comes to printing money. We'll see how long this shutdown lasts. In the meantime, hey, I'm still going at it day after day to try to keep everybody up to date. And right now, things continue to look good for the precious metals and still select precious metal stocks. So everybody have a great rest of your long weekend, and we'll be back with our daily editorials next week. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Corey.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight. At GCN Team, our Healthy Body weight loss system simply nutrifies the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.